But it was good to be there. It's good to be back home. Good to be here. And looking forward to the short time we have here. I wanted to wait a little bit later to talk about this, and I probably will some more too, but we have really enjoyed getting to work with this congregation. I think next month will be, what day was it? Today is 12 years, okay. So today is 12 years, and we have enjoyed that. We've grown to love you and care for you, and anything at all, and I'll tell you this again, anything at all we can do for you in the future, we want to do that. Somebody said, where are you going? What are you doing? I said, I don't know. I've left it up to Linda. Oy. Whew. Y'all pray for me. It's taken a lot of patience here, I'm telling you. She doesn't do well in making decisions. I've told people, I'm glad I don't stand out on the street for her to tell me a truck's coming to hit me. She'd say, well, should I tell him? Well, it might bother him, so I won't tell him, and by then I'm gone. That may be what she wants to do. I don't know. We're going to be talking about honesty this morning. Not honesty as we deal with other people, but honesty as we deal with ourselves. We've got to be honest with ourselves. And you know, sometimes we are the people that tell ourselves more lies than we tell anybody else. Because we don't see ourselves for who we are. There is an inscription on the temple at to Apollos at Delphi. It says, I know thyself. And we've heard the sayings, know yourself and be true to yourself. We need to know who we are. We need to be able to judge ourselves. Have you noticed that sometimes you can judge other people, you can judge the things they do in their lives, and you can look at their lives and say, this is what's wrong with them. But then you look at your life and you don't see that, maybe until somebody brings it out to you, or you go through something and you realize that. So it's hard to really know yourself and to judge yourself, but we need to be willing to do that. Now, again, we don't want to be so harsh in our judgment of ourselves. Some people look at themselves and they just think that they're the worst thing in the world, they're not good for anything. Let me tell you something. You are when you're God's child. You are something. You are important. Jesus Christ came to die for you, and that means that you're important. God says you're important. He says you're important because he gave you the church that you could be a part of. So we need to recognize we do have some importance. Now, we also need to look at ourselves and make sure that we are what God wants us to be and we're living the way God wants us to. That's what we've got to be willing to do, and we've got to understand that. We've got to know ourselves and be honest with ourselves because we've got to be those people who are willing to repent of our sins when we need to. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 33, it tells us there, unless you repent, you're going to perish. So we've got to know ourselves, to know the sins that we commit, to be able to get those sins straightened out. And sometimes we don't know those sins, and they're not as evident to us in our own life as they are to other people. So be careful how you judge others, and also be willing to judge yourself. Be willing to look at yourself with an honest judgment now. Be willing to look at yourself. Now, what we want to see today is some things that can help us to do that. There are advantages that we need to have in knowing ourselves and knowing who we are and knowing the kind of person we are and the real person we are, not the one we think we are, but the real person that we are. Other people, they have a limited knowledge of us. Have you ever heard anybody say, I know what they're going to say. I know everything about them. You don't. You may know a lot, but you don't know it all. And you may not know all about that person. You may not know of the hurts and the pains that they're going through in their lives at a particular time. You may not know the sin that they're struggling with in their lives to try to overcome, to try to defeat that sin in their lives. And sometimes we get, as we've talked before, we get impatient with people because they don't change as fast as we think they need to change. Well, maybe we don't change as fast as we need to change either. So let's not be judging people in that. Let's be willing to find out. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 said, for who knows a man or the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. He's saying, look, you don't even know your own spirit. You don't even know the things going on in your own life. Now, how are you going to know God's? Now, that's the point of what he's saying here. But what we want to see is we've got to learn to know ourselves. And we can't know God because we just can't, even though he's revealed so much to us. And other people can't know us as well as we might think they know us. And so we need to be careful in making judgments about other people. And also we need to recognize that some people are hurting because they feel like they've said something or done something. If you have, go to that person and get it straightened out. Get things worked out. Don't go through your life with regrets like that. But get things worked out. And maybe sometime you, like me, I've gone up and said, listen, what I said, did that come across that I was mad at you or I was hurting you? I said, no, I didn't even think about that. Well, I said, well, wish I hadn't said anything now. I was doing okay before I opened my mouth and put my foot in it. But we do that. And so what we've got to do is to help other people to see how important these things are. Our life is just so short, really, that we don't have time to reveal to everybody really the kind of person that we are inside. Now, we may think we know how that person is inside, but we may not know everything about that person. So let's have some patience with them. Let's have some love for them. Let's have a relationship in such a way as they can let us know how they are inside and who they are inside. So there's some advantages in knowing yourself. But also there's some disadvantages too, because we see ourselves as we are. And those disadvantages sometimes can cause us to feel like we are nothing, that we are not good enough to be a Christian. We're not good enough to do things in the church. We're not good enough. Listen, what we've got to do is understand everybody is not good enough. We're not good enough. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. None of us are good enough. If we had been, God would not have provided a way where we as Christians could have forgiveness of our sins. And so we're not good enough. So we look at the Lord and we depend on Him. When we look at our lives, what we need to do is to take our lives and judge it according to the Lord. And when we judge it according to the Lord, we need to judge it in such a way as to know the Lord understands us and He recognizes the things in our life. And what He's trying to do for us is to help us to understand that He will forgive us of every sin we've committed. There is not a sin you can commit that God will not forgive except that of unrepented sin. He can't forgive that. We've got to have the sorrow. We've got to have, and that's for us to recognize and to know what we're doing. Sometimes we're the poorest judges of our own selves. We don't see who we really are. We may have the raw material that is needed to be a good person, but we don't see that. We just see our faults. And again, all of us have got them. But don't dwell on those things. Dwell on the things that God has for us. Help Him to understand that and help Him to recognize how important that is. We're not candid enough. We're not objective enough at looking at our own lives as we should. But we're good at looking at other people's lives, and that's what we shouldn't do. We got to look at our own life. We got to judge by our own life what we need to do there. You know, a doctor is not good at diagnosing himself. He needs to get somebody else to tell him, because if he's not careful, he'll rely on what he thinks and not what really is. And so he needs to understand how important that is. In the spiritual realm, we've got to be able to make those judgments in our own lives and look at those things in such an honest way that we're able to see really who we are and not overrate ourselves and not underrate ourselves, but be honest with ourselves that, you know, we're doing pretty good. You know, sometimes we have the power to forgive others things that they have done, and we won't forgive ourselves for the same thing. We need to learn to do that. We need to learn to forgive ourselves of those things that we have done. We need to do for ourselves like we do for others. Be willing to forgive them. Be willing to help them. And also, we need to look at ourselves as God sees us. And it's important that we see that. It's important that we know that, because God may look at us totally different than we think. Sometimes people think God looks at them and He's angry, He's mad, He hates them, and He's just waiting for the time when He can take them and just dangle them over hell and let them cook a little bit. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of the Scriptures. He's ready to forgive. Now, He will help people if they want to go to hell. I mean, honestly, He will. He'll do that. Strong delusions, remember that? A passage that we have a hard time understanding. And we can believe what we want to believe. And He will allow us to do that. That may be the thing that maybe it's the delusions that we have. And that we're not thinking about how God looks at things, how God considers things. And we need to consider it in a different way. We need to think about it in a different way. And you know, when I think about this, I think about David. David committed adultery. He murdered. He lied. His life was a lie when he was standing before the people as a person of God, when he was not that. But he could not see that. And sometimes that astounds us. How could David, this man of God, this man that was so close to God, this man that wanted to follow God, how could he do those things and get into that and then in his mind justify those things? How could he do that? Then maybe we need to go to the mirror and say, how can we do what we're doing and justify it? You can make anything you do right if you want it to be right. But when you add God's judgment in on that, how God looks at it, then that changes it. So we got to see ourselves for who we are. Could you see that old prophet when he gave the story there to David about the one little lamb that the fella next door had, and the guy that had a whole bunch of lambs came over and got his one little one and brought it back? Oh, David was enraged about that. How could a man do that? How could a man take this fella's animal away from him, this little lamb away from him, and cook it and feed it to his friends? How could he do that? I wonder if that old prophet said, how could a man take a man's wife and then kill him? How could he do that? And it took that realization for David to see himself. Before that, he did not see himself. He was not honest with himself. If he had been honest, he'd have said, listen, adultery's wrong, murder's wrong, lying is wrong, presenting that you're a faithful person of God is wrong. But in his mind, he was not honest. Have you ever been that way? Where in your mind, you knew what you were doing was wrong, but in some way you justified that, and you said it's right. We've got to quit doing that. That'll cause our soul to be in a place of torment for eternity. And that's not what we want. That's not what we got to have. We can see, you know, Peter's hypocrisy when in Galatians 2 and verse 11 and the following verses, where when some of the Jewish people came down, Peter was there with some of the Gentiles, and because of the Jews coming down, they kind of said, okay, we're going to sit over here today. You Gentiles sit over there. We don't want to look like we know you. And Paul said, I withstood him to the face because he needed it. What he did is took a mirror and said, look at this. Look at what you did. And look at how you did that. That was wrong. Now I think Peter saw himself for who he was. He was hypocritical. He was wrong. And I can't show you in the Bible, but I want to think he repented of that. That he turned from it and said, you know, you're right. I won't do that again. That was, you know, when I was doing it, you know, Paul, when I was doing that, I knew it wasn't right when I was doing it, but I went ahead and did it anyhow. You ever been there? You ever done that? And then you knew, I don't need to do this, but you were doing it. And so what we may need to do is to stop and think a little bit about those things and not let those things bother us. We've got to be people who love the truth and know ourselves. Now, you can know the truth and not know yourself. And that's bad, because you've got to know who you are. You've got to know your strengths and your weaknesses. Your salvation depends on your response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 11, talked about how that there were some strong delusions that were going to come on some people because they wanted to believe a lie. They had made up their minds they were going to do that, and they went ahead and did it. They knew it was wrong, shouldn't do it. And here it says that God gave them that. How did God give them that? Now, I want to tell you what I think about it, and it may be different than what you think about it. I think God gave that to them because He allowed them to believe that. He allowed them to be where they were. He allowed them to think how they thought, how their thinking process. He allowed that. And that's how it was like. I don't think God put something in front of them to cause them to fall. He doesn't do that. God tests us, but He does not tempt us. And they had the chance to change. They had the power to be able to change. But we've got to understand there is more, and I hesitate about this point because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say. There is more than just doctrinal truth. Now, doctrinal truth is what the Bible says. And there's more to it than that. I can have doctrinal truth, but then in my life not have doctrinal truth. What God wants is not the truth in an iPad or a Bible or something like that, but God wants the truth in us. It doesn't work unless it's in us. Now, there's some people, they can quote you the Bible and they can quote just passage after passage, and they know what the Bible teaches, but they're not following it. And see, that's the horror. Don't think I'm saying anything bad about doctrinal truth at all. I'm not. But we can have doctrinal truth, but not have that in our lives, and it's not worth anything then. In fact, it's worse. To the whole world, we're saying this is what it says, and they look at us and say, I see what you're doing. And what we've got to do is to recognize what that book says we got to live. What that book wants us to, how that book wants us to conduct our lives is how we should conduct our lives. And see, the rub is, we're a part of this old world, lock, stock, and barrel. We know more about it than we do the world to come. And sometimes we don't study enough about the world to come and how to get there as we should. We've got to do that. So what we've got to do is to understand that we've got to be people that recognize how this is. 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. That's where the truth has to be. You can have as many Bibles as you want. You can sit in as many Bible classes as you want. You can be baptized as many times as you want. But if the truth is not in you, it's no good. It's got to be in you. That means you live it out in your daily lives. And if you're going to do that, you've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be honest with yourself. Don't fool yourself and really become the fool. That's what we are when we fool ourselves. And we know what our sins are. We know what God's Word says about that. And we know that, like in 1 John here in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all those things that are wrong. He has the power to do that. And He can do that. And He will do that if we will allow Him to do that. But we first got to be honest with our own selves about this and recognize what we need to do. We need to live before God and see the great demands that God places on us. And He places many there on us. I don't think it's more than we can stand. I think it may be more that we feel we can endure, but it's not more than we can stand or more that we can endure. Paul told the Corinthians, there's no sin taking you, but such as is common to man. He's saying there, don't think that God's putting you in a position over here and really putting you down, and He's letting other people get by with it. He said, no, He doesn't do that. We have our sins that we have to face, that we have to deal with. And we sometimes load ourselves down with that. By telling us ourselves we can't do it, it's not going to work out, I'm not as good as other people, and a host of other things that we might say about ourselves. But what we got to do is to realize, I can only be as good as I am. And I can only be as good as I am if I'm following what God wants me to do. If I'm following God's way. That's what I've got to be willing to do. There's a great contrast between the attitudes in Acts, the second chapter, verses 36 through 41, where the people there heard that word. They were listening to the preacher, and they heard the preaching that was there, and they kind of said, preacher, whoa, wait a minute. We recognize what you're saying is true. They were pricked in their hearts. They went to their heart, and there's where the prick was. There's where the problem was. And then they had to change their hearts. Now, if you go on over to Acts 7, in verse 54, it talks there about Stephen. And here is Stephen, who is one that when these people heard the preaching of Stephen, heard what Stephen said, Stephen, the first Christian martyr that we have recorded, when they heard what he said, they gnashed him. Now, I think the New King James does better than the Old King James. The New King James said that they gnashed at him. They were so mad they were just gritting their teeth. You ever been that mad before where you just, it's either blow up or grit? They were so mad. Now, here's their emotion. What was wrong with it? Their hearts were not right. The truth would not penetrate their hearts. And even the words from Stephen coming from God was not enough to change that heart. to penetrate that heart that needed it. And they needed to change their life. We've got to be honest with ourselves. And if we're not honest with ourselves, then we're in a lot of trouble. We must be those people that we want to know who we are. And we want to know why we do what we do. And when we know that, then we're going to be willing to change. Some people, some of the Pharisees came to Jesus in Matthew, the third chapter, and Jesus there called them the sons of vipers. Now, you don't call a fellow a snake. He might not like that. And he said it seems in very strong terms there. Why? Why would he speak so to people who were religious people? Why would he speak so to people who had studied the Scriptures? And listen, some of them, according to chronological age, had studied it maybe twice as long as he had in the physical world. Now, understand what I'm saying in that. How could he call them vipers, sons of vipers, snakes? How could he be so cruel to them? Because he said, you should know. Of all the people in the world that should know the truth, you should know the truth. You should be saying, you are the Son of God. We recognize that you fulfilled all the prophets. We recognize that you're a person that you're doing the will of God. They should have seen that. But they didn't. Why? Because they looked at their hearts and said, we're right and he's wrong. They looked at their hearts and said, we're not going to change. He's going to have to change. Maybe we need to look at our hearts and say, we need to change. We need to change how we feel about things. And when we change how we feel about things, we also need to change our conduct toward those things. And that will be shown to the world. And the world will then see us as honest people. And that's what we want. We want the world to see us as honest people. But maybe we're showing the world dishonesty in not living like we should live as a child of God. Maybe that's what we're doing, and what we need to do is we need to stop that. Now, here's some tests I want you to look at, think about. A test of your honesty, and these are important. Do you pray, now think about this, do you pray for help in seeing your own selves as God sees you? Do you ask God to help you? Listen to David in Psalms 19 and verse 12. He said, who can understand his error? Cleanse me from secret faults. We've all got them. All right, we got to be honest with ourselves. We got to look at that. And do we want those things to be revealed? Do we want other people to see those things? Do we pray to God that God help me to overcome this? Help me to defeat this in my life? Is that what our prayer is? Is that what we're trying to say to God there? Number two, do we pray for friends who love us enough to warn us for the sake of our soul, and not just to be a friend? It's great to have a friend, but if a friend won't tell you the truth, are they really your friend? We need friends that are willing to say, Charles, you know, you're wrong. Could you imagine that old prophet going up to David, somebody that he probably loved and cared for, and he said, David, you're wrong. You're wrong, and you got to change your life. Peter telling, or Paul telling Peter, you need to be condemned for that. You need that. That's the kind of friends you need. He said, no, I want those friends that just compliment me and tell me how good looking I am, what a kind person I am, what a great person I am. No, we need friends that will tell us the truth. And listen to this now. We need to listen to our enemies sometimes too. Because sometimes they tell us the truth. Now, granted, it may be with a sneer, and it may be with the wrong attitude, but we need to listen to that, because sometimes they are telling us the truth. Now, sometimes they lie, okay? But sometimes they're telling us the truth, and we need to listen to that. We need to think about it, and we need to think about it so that we can change. Paul in Galatians 4 and verse 16 said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? People can get upset when you tell them the truth. Could you say, I don't want to lose their friendship and I'm just not going to tell them? But then they may give their soul away to the devil, to the world, because we don't stand up and say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to live that way. And let me tell you something. There are going to be people, if you do that, they'll not be your friend again. But there are going to be some people who say, thank you. And if they're not willing to look at themselves, why would you want to be around them? in an honest way. So let's look at ourselves in an honest way. Let's help other people to see themselves in an honest way. Be kind about it. You know, when in Galatians where it talks about restoring a person, it says restore that person considering your own self. How would you like for somebody to talk to you about this? How would you like for somebody to talk to you about the sin in your life? And that's the way you need to go to them. Don't go to them in a haughty spirit. If you got a haughty spirit, go back, get in the closet, pray for about 3 days. Don't eat, just pray for 3 days. That makes it a little more serious. And get a good attitude and then go talk to them. And help them to see that so that they can have it. Paul said, Am I your friend or am I your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? The next one, are you praying for circumstances to happen in your life that will reveal some of these things to the rest of the world? Now, this is one that could come back to haunt you. Are you praying to God and say, God, I know there's things in my life that are not right. God, can you help me to see those things? Can you reveal that to me? We were talking about? I just forgot. The whole thing just went. It was a good idea at the time. You have these passing thoughts. That's the reason these men pray for that ready recollection. My recollection just wasn't ready. It went away. But I I'll think about it in a minute and figure out what it was. We've got to be willing to pray that these things might be revealed, that these things might be known to other people so that we'll have to deal with them. We'll have to do it. And that's a hard way to correct something, but it is a good way to correct something, is know that. Do we pray for faults that are hidden from ourselves to be those things that are going to be revealed to the world? Do we really do that? Now, that's a tough question to answer. No way around that. In John 3, verses 19 through 21, I'm just going to read verse 19. And this is the commandment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We don't want it revealed because we know it's evil. We don't want that done, so give us something. The Bible talks about people wanting the sermons and the lessons they hear and the Word of God to be something that kind of tickles the ear. It's not really the truth. It's what they want to hear. Makes them feel good. Makes them feel real good about themselves. But it's not the truth of God. And that's what we've got to have. Now, we've got to be people. We're not perfect. Never will be. We're supposed to be maturing, not perfect. We don't want to be perfect. We want to be mature people that we can help other people to see that. People don't like perfect people. But we want people that are maturing in such a way as they can help us. And they're doing it in a great way to help us to be there. We've got to be those people that we understand. We want our friends to help us. We want our enemies to help us. We want people in the church to help us. We want God to help us. What we want to do is have all those things to help us to be honest with our own selves, so that we can see who we really, really are. And then we go to God and we talk to God about the things that we really, really need to talk to Him about. So let's be willing to do that. We may never turn away from all the truth, but hopefully we can see enough of that truth to change our lives. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure listen to sound doctrine, but they'll heap for themselves teachers because they've got itching ears and they want to hear what the teachers have to say that sounds good to them." A preacher that preaches only positive sermons is not preaching the truth. Now, one that does preaches all the time negative sermons, not preaching the truth either, I don't think. What we've got to do is to have the positive and the negative. That's what the Bible has. It talks about the good and the bad. It encourages and lifts up. And it takes some that think they're so high and brings them back down to God's level where they are. And that's what they need. We have to have that. We've got to be that kind of people. Be honest with yourself. If you're going to be honest with anybody, be honest with yourself. If you're honest with yourself first, it's a lot easier to be honest with other people. And it doesn't make any difference what other people think. You do what's right. and you be honest with your own self. To God be true what He has to say. Now, you've got to look at those things in your life. I don't know if I've mentioned anything today that would cause you to think about your life. And maybe you are right now thinking about a sin in your life that you need to get straightened out. If we can help you to do that, we want to do that. If you want to talk about it, we're here to talk about it. If you want to respond today publicly and ask the whole church to talk with you about that or to pray for you about that and try to help you do that, we want to do that. Hey, we're trying to go to heaven here. This is not just a bunch of people getting together and we're going to have a pep rally for God. That's what some people think they want to have, is a pep rally for God, and I got to feel great when I go. What I got to do is to learn to hear the truth and follow the truth. That's what I got to do. More than anything else, I got to do that. If I don't, I may be fooling myself. Can you imagine somebody going up to heaven? Lynn's already giving me the thing saying the time's over with, but I'm going one more thing. Could you imagine a person going up to heaven and they're there being judged by God and God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And those people go, "What? Listen, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and I've done that." He said, "I don't know you." In fact, is it Matthew 7 where it says that? 7 or 24, read both of them. Won't hurt you to read that Bible every once in a while. Read both of them. They're going to be surprised that they're going to be lost because they haven't been honest with themselves. I don't want you to be in that shape. I don't want you to be there like that. I want you to be there where He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you're saying, "God, do you really know me? Did you know what I did?" He said, "Yes, but you repented of it, you turned from it, and you tried to learn from it, and you tried to do better. And you're in heaven now. A faithful servant." Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.